You're listening to the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, here's Pastor Sandy as he teaches through the book of Ecclesiastes, chapters 10 through 12.
Verse 5, as you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. This is wonderful advice. You know, here's another frustration. Who knows how life really works? I mean, who knows the mysteries of life? I mean, you go outside and do you understand the way of the wind? I mean, we get into our car, but do you know how disc brakes work? Do you know how internal combustion really operates? I mean, are you an expert in that? No, you're not. I'm not. We marry, but we never take a course in marriage. Isn't that strange? We educate ourselves for everything other than marriage and family, and that's what we value most. I mean, we have kids, but we know nothing of neonatal development. We know nothing of raising them, and yet we have them. We think they come with a book, an instruction manual or something, and then they arrive and there's no instructions. I mean, we live in this world of mystery and perplexity, and the tendency would be to want to bail out. You know, I don't understand it, so I'm not going to participate. Solomon says, oh no. The preacher says, keep living your life. Keep sowing your seed. You don't have to understand all of life's processes in order to participate and in order to take advantage. Sometimes knowing these things doesn't help you anyway. Once again, he says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Live your life. Take the risks that you deem necessary and trust God to bring it all back to you in the wonderful way that he can. Don't be afraid to live your life. Verse 7, truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Oh boy, if you live long enough, you'll experience some good days and some bad days, some sunshine and some shadows, a little winning and a little losing. Babe Ruth hit 714 home runs. But you don't think that he struck out 1,330 times. In 1962, Dodger speedster Maury Wills set a record for most stolen bases in a season. 104 bases he stole that year. In 1965, 3 years later, Wills set a record for the most times caught stealing at 31. He holds both records. I mean, life is a mixture, isn't it? Sometimes we're safe, sometimes we're out. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. You'd hope you could insulate yourself from the bad that happens in life and taste only the good, but life doesn't work that way. You got to take the good with the bad. And Solomon concludes, all that is coming is vanity. Verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Youth creates illusions. When you're young, you act like you're going to live forever. At 20 years old, I didn't once think of retirement. I didn't once think of the dangers of high blood pressure. None of those things crossed my mind. I mean, young people live ignoring the harsh realities that await them. The one truth, though, that we all shouldn't ignore is that one day we're going to be judged by God, young or old. You need to keep that in the forefront of your thinking. He says, therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. If you're young, enjoy your youth. But ignorance isn't bliss. Life is more than proms and pep rallies and football games on Friday night. Regardless of your age, we're all accountable to God. Verse 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Have you noticed that the longer you live, the more difficult life becomes? There was a day when the only person I had to worry about was me. Life was so easy and so simple. But then I got married to Mrs. Complication. Oh no, I love her. I love her and I wouldn't live without her. But did she complicate my life? You bet she did. And then I had Little Complication and Complication Junior and then Complication the Third. And today my life is really complicated. Multiple cars. I just bought a couple of cars and I'm going to sell 3 cars. And so I actually own 7 cars at this moment. And you put them all together, they're probably not worth $10,000. I'm not sure. But I got 7 cars. I got teen drivers. I got insurance through the wazoo. My life is concerned with FAFSA forms and tuition payments and boy-girl drama. And in recent years, wedding plans. Add to that the maintenance of my own marriage, which I'm working on. Holding down a job, the aches and pains of turning 50. I mean, I'm telling you, the older you get, the more complex life becomes. And as you grow older, you encounter disappointments in life and harsh experiences that have the potential of shaking your faith. This is why it's important to lay a solid spiritual foundation while you're young. You build a strong faith that'll stand against the cruelties and the injustices of life. Learn to trust God before your sin and the sin of others taints your mind. Josiah was one of Judah's greatest kings. But 2 Chronicles 34, verses 2 and 3 tell us what made him great. We're told he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, when he was 16 years old, while he was still young, he began to seek God. There's the key. While he was still young, he began to seek God. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. You know, too many young people, they spend their youth sowing wild oats. And then they end up spending their 20s and their 30s, and sometimes even their 40s, pulling weeds. Better to spend your teen years sowing good seed that'll produce good fruit. Once there was a man who was racing to catch a MARTA train, and just as he reached the platform, the doors on the train closed right in his face. A bystander remarked, he said, "You didn't run fast enough." And that's when the man said, "No, I left too late." When it comes to following Jesus, make sure you don't leave too late. Start when you're young. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Verse 2, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim. Now here is another one of life's frustrations, and this is a biggie. You got to grow old. You got to grow old. No other alternative if you want to be alive. And growing old is the pits. If you let it, it can get depressing. And here Solomon starts to list the symptoms of aging. He says, the keepers of the house tremble. Your hands and your and your arms, they start to quiver. They start to shake. And you get the shakes. Strong men bow down. You know, my dad's going to be 80 next year. And I guarantee you, he's lost at least an inch off his height over the years. He used to be 6'3", he's about 6'2". Now, gravity has taken its toll. Age tends to round off square shoulders, cause backs to bow, and you walk sort of bent over. Strong men bow down. Then the grinders cease. In other words, you lose your teeth. That's what Solomon says. He says, the grinders cease because they are few. You lose your teeth. The grinders don't work anymore. And then those look through the windows grow dim. You get these big, heavy Coke bottle windows in front of your glasses, and your vision begins to deteriorate. You have to start looking through the glasses, through the windows, in order to see. And the symptoms continue here in verse 4. He says, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low. In other words, you lose your daytime hearing. I mean, all this is going on. They're pounding the jackhammer out in front of the driveway and you don't hear it. Because you lost your daytime hearing. But boy, in the morning, the slightest noise wakes you up. You can't go back to sleep. How is it I can't hear anything in the daytime, but the littlest noise wakes me up at night, and I can't go back to sleep? He says, when one rises up at the sound of a bird. I don't hear the jackhammer in the afternoon, let alone my wife calling me for dinner. But then I get woke up by a little bird in the middle of the night, and I can't go back to sleep. And he says, and all the daughters of music are brought low. I mean, there was a time when you could sing like a bird. But now your voice just quivers and shakes. I mean, your singing days are over, man. I'm telling you, growing old is not for the faint of heart. Here's a poem that could have been written by Solomon. I'm fine. There's nothing, whatever, the matter with me. I'm just as healthy as I can be. I have arthritis in both my knees. And when I talk with a wheeze. My pulse is weak and my blood is thin, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. My teeth eventually will have to come out, and I can't hear a word unless you shout. I'm overweight and I can't get thin, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. Arch supports I have for both my feet, and I wouldn't be able to walk down the street. Sleep is denied me every night, and every morning I'm really a sight. My memory is bad and my head's a spin. And I practically live on aspirin, and I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. The moral is, as the tale unfolds, that for you and me who are growing old, it's better to say I'm fine with a grin than to let people know what shape we're in. Hey, growing old is inevitable, but here's what Solomon is saying. He says, since you can't do anything about it, don't bum the people out around you, okay? Stop complaining. If all you do is complain all the time, then you drive all the young people around you away from you. They don't want to spend any time with you anymore. Enjoy getting older the best you can. Put a grin on your face. Can't help it anyway. Verse 5, also they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. I mean, old people become fragile and they find it difficult to get around. And their immobility creates fear and terror. He says, when the almond tree blossoms. Now, almond blossoms are white. And so here's a reference of the graying of the hair. The grasshopper becomes a burden. I mean, get older and little things, just the little things, like the little grasshoppers, things that never bothered you before, now become a burden to you and an irritation to you. And desire fails. Time for Cialis. The sexual desire diminishes. And then you reach the end of your road, the end of life. And yet notice the end of life is not the end of the road. For Solomon says at the end of verse 5, for man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. You do come to the end of life, but the end of life is not the end of the road. For you do go to an eternal home. And this is the most crucial decision that a man or woman makes in life, and that's to choose where they're going to spend eternity. Whether their eternity will be in heaven with Jesus or whether their eternity will be in hell with the lost and the damned. Well, verse 6 tells us, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher shattered at the fountain or the wheel broken at the well. And here's some 3,000-year-old medical terms. The silver cord is the spinal column. Your golden bowl is your brain. I think mine's fool's gold. The pitcher is the lungs. And the wheel is the heart. And so the cord will one day be cut. And your bowl's going to get cracked. And your pitcher's going to shatter. And the wheel is going to be broken. In other words, you're going to die. But verse 7, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Your body was made from the dust, and it will return to the dust, whereas your spirit, the inner man, will immediately return to be judged by God. So before you check out of your hotel, remember your Creator, my friend. For as God's creation, you are accountable to your Creator. And if you don't have a right relationship with God, trust me, it's in your best interest to establish one tonight. Repent of your sin. Receive God's forgiveness, for He gives it freely. If you'll just have faith, if you'll just trust in the Savior Jesus, if you'll surrender to His will and lordship in your life, then you can pass from time into eternity and know that you have a home in heaven. Reminds me of the man who once said, there was a time when I thought I would live forever, but I found it necessary to change those plans. If that's your assumption, you too will need to change those plans, and I hope you include God in your new plans. Listen to this sobering poem. When I was a child, I laughed and wept. Time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew. Soon I shall find in traveling on, time gone. Time crept, time walked, time ran, time flew, but suddenly time was gone. You know, as I get older, I like to remember these wise words. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Solomon is now an old man himself, and he's come to the end of his life under the sun. And it's time for him to draw his conclusion, verse 8. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Apart from God, life is like chasing soap bubbles. It's of no more consequence than a warm puff of breath on a cold morning. Here one day, boom, gone tomorrow. It's empty, hollow. British statesman Benjamin Disraeli summed up his life by saying, youth is a blunder, manhood a struggle, old age a regret. And if a creator didn't factor into that equation, if there wasn't some intelligence and purpose and plan behind it all, no matter how obscure his purposes sometimes are, life would be one long, bitter letdown. Life would be vanity of vanities. Without God, life is a Coke that's lost its fizz. Life is a cold piece of pizza. Life is a steak that's been left too long on the grill. T.S. Eliot sums it up, where is the life we have lost in living? Without God, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Verse 9, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, God's truth. And here he mentions the proverbs particularly are like goads, are like cattle prodders. They're sharp and they're pointed. And at times we're like stubborn animals. We need to be poked and prodded in the right direction, and God's word is faithful to do just that. And the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. God's word is like a nail. It fastens us to the path of righteousness. You stay faithful to God by being tacked down with his word. He says, and further, my son, be admonished by these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. I have a high schooler who would tell you that any study is wearisome to the flesh. Solomon is not suggesting we don't study, that we don't read books, that we don't pursue knowledge. In fact, Solomon was quite a pursuer of knowledge. I've heard it said, the man who does not read has no advantage over the man who cannot read. It's true. As the old saying goes, readers are leaders. And of course, the one must-read book is the Bible. I hope we are all faithful in reading our Bibles. But you see, there's a balance. Some folks spend all their time studying life and never living it. They're always studying about God, but they don't obey God, nor do they seek to know God. Hey, it's true. Too much study is wearisome and becomes counterproductive. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And so here is the conclusion of Solomon's experiment. The preacher has tried all that life has to offer, and he's discovered that the only thing that really matters in life is to fear God and keep his commandments. To fear God is to realize that God knows better how I should live than I do. Do you fear God? To fear God is to acknowledge that God is the designer and the creator of life, that he is our final authority. To fear God is to bow my knee before him and to ask, God, what will you have me do? Hey, that's it, man. That is the whole reason any of us exist. Reinhold Messner was a famous mountain climber. In fact, he was the first of two men to climb Mount Everest without an oxygen bottle. And then he decided he needed to climb Everest by himself. And again, he succeeded. Afterwards, Messner was asked, as are all mountain climbers, why did you do it? And his reply was classic. He said, because at the top, all the lines converge. This is what Solomon is telling us. This is the way it is in life under the sun. From a strictly human perspective, life is a pain. It's a puzzle with a lot of missing pieces. But when you dedicate your life to Jesus, and when you focus on what exists above the sun, suddenly the missing pieces come together and the lines and dots begin to connect. At the top, all the lines converge. I've heard it put like this: the world is a spiritual kindergarten where millions of bewildered infants are trying to spell God with the wrong blocks. Solomon has weeded life out so that the only thing left is God. It's as if he's saying to us, I've looked to discover the bottom line, but the bottom line is not at the bottom. It's at the top. It's above the sun. The bottom line is actually the highest rung on the ladder. It's God. Fear God and keep his commandments, and you'll live your life to the fullest and understand what life truly means. Our empty lives find meaning only as we relate them to God.
There's more to discover in the book of Ecclesiastes, but this is where we need to pause for today's edition of Sandy Adams Radio. This program is a ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams and Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain, located in Atlanta, Georgia. We'd love to have you come be a part of our Sunday morning worship service if you're in the area. We gather at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. to spend time in communication with God through prayer and praise, and studying through his word verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We'd love to have you join us, so visit sandyadams.org to get directions. While you're at our website, you'll be able to listen to other teachings from Pastor Sandy's audio archive or read insightful articles and blog posts. Download our mobile app to stay connected to Sandy Adams Radio and take the messages you've heard here on the go. You can even find links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. All of this is found at sandyadams.org. Before we leave you for the day, we'd like to ask you to consider partnering with us as we continue to share the hope of Jesus through this ministry. Would you pray about financially contributing to Sandy Adams Radio? All donations are useful and so appreciated. Find out more by clicking on donate at sandyadams.org. Thank you for bringing this before the Lord, and thank you for tuning in today for Sandy Adams Radio.